It's a real joy to be here. I've met most of you before, and I'm glad to be here again today. The elderly gentleman years ago, he used to sit right over here. Is he with the Lord now? Is he still?
Bill.
Oh, he has shingles. Okay. Well, that's not okay. But I remember Bill, this has been years ago, and he would tell you this. I was to preach here on that Sunday, and it was double booked. Somebody else was already going to preach that Sunday. So he apologizes. That's okay. You know, I'll come some other time. So he hasn't forgotten that. And somehow I haven't forgotten it either. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we are to come into your presence with thanksgiving every day, not just on Thanksgiving. And so, Father, thank you for your word today. We need it, Lord. We not just need to hear it, but we need to do it. And so, Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit that energizes your word and helps us to understand it and helps us to apply it. Thank you for this church, for the people, for the pastor, and now for yourself as you're here in our presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. The event, commonly called Thanksgiving, was started by the Pilgrims, first Thanksgiving, way back in 1621. And it lasted for 3 days, and it was after the first harvest that they had, and there were 90 Native Americans and 50 Pilgrims. And they thanked God for their blessings, their food that they had been able to provide. And so then from then on, from time to time, they had Thanksgiving as a regular day. But since 1789, there was a proclamation by George Washington. And it was then celebrated every year after and since 1863. When during the Civil War, President Lincoln proclaimed a national day, and here's what he said, "Thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." So the last Thursday of November, we have Thanksgiving. I entitled the message, "Enter Greater Grace with Thanksgiving." And I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 100 at this time. Psalm 100. And it's such a wonderful praise and thanksgiving psalm that we're going to look at this morning. And I'm reading it from the NIV. I noticed that the ESV was on the screen, but and that may be what you have there in your pew, but this is from the NIV. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." There are some key verses and some key words in this psalm. And in verse 2 or 3, it says the word know. Know the Lord, God, that the Lord is God. And this is a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I wonder when you first realized that the Lord is your God. When did you first realize this? And how do you know today that you are his child? I read in 1 John chapter 5, "These things are written that you may believe in the Lord, that you may know that you have eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son of God has not life." There must be a heart knowledge to know that the Lord is our God. And sometimes people miss it by 12 inches. They have it up here, but they don't have it down here. And so we don't want any one of you to miss heaven by 12 inches. We want you to know that the Lord is your God. And it says, "It is he who made us." We were not an accident. It is He who made us, and we are His. There's a psalm in Psalm 139 that says, even before we were conceived, God knew how many days we'd spend on this earth before one of them was spent. He also says we are fearfully, wonderfully made. And all of us today, it would take us years just to understand how our bodies are made, how all of the different parts and all the different systems in our bodies, and how God so intricately made us when we were conceived. And we are His, it says, and we are His people. And it says, we are the sheep of His pasture. As we think about being the Lord's, as His people, and we could say this, and you could say this yourself, I bear His name. I bear His name. I represent Him. I am to bring honor and glory to Him. I must spend time with Him. I call Him Abba Father. You know, I was just thinking about that word Abba Father, and there are many people that don't have a father that they honor because of different situations. But God is our Heavenly Father when we know Jesus, and we can call Him Abba Father, Abba Father. And then finally, I must not bring shame to Him. We are His people. We are His people. And we are also the sheep of His pasture. It tells us in Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7, says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. By the way, that is a song too. For He is our God. We are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. We are the sheep of His pasture. We notice in the song about the 99, there were 99 that were gathered in the fold, but there was one that was missing. And the shepherd left his 99 and went out on the steep and on the rocky and found that one sheep and picked up that one sheep and brought it back to the fold. And you know, we can say, I was that lost sheep at one time, and God cared so much for me that He brought us into the fold and He forgave us. So the Lord wants us to know Him. We need to know that the Lord is our God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Then it tells us in the next verse, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And you know, I think it'd be a good place to have a sign just before you come into the doors here, enter with thanksgiving. Because a lot of times we come in and we're burdened and we have problems, and we come in and this is a place where we talk about those things, we pray about them. But if we could come into the gates with thanksgiving, which it says, let us enter the gates with thanksgiving, that would be what we need to do. Greater Grace, did you come in this morning with thanksgiving? Did you? Did you come in with thankful hearts? It tells us here, a gate or a door, the opening through which we get into a place, and of course into the temple they had to go into a place and through a gate, and that's what He's talking about here. Enter in His courts with praise. And this is where they worshiped, in the temple. And as we enter into this building, we can come in with thanksgiving, not just one time per year, but every time we enter into the sanctuary here, into the gates, we ought to do it with thanksgiving. It's interesting. This word thanksgiving is an interesting Hebrew word. It's todah, T-O-D-A-H. And I was thinking it has nothing to do with this, but have you ever heard anybody say, ta-da? Have you ever heard that? That reminded me of that. Ta-da! And that means you've just accomplished something. Now, I don't think it's the same word, but it's almost. But this word, tada, in Hebrew means to acknowledge, to confess, to praise. It's a thanksgiving offering, and it's a sacrifice given to express thanks to God. So maybe we've known a little Hebrew, and we didn't even know it. But Not only does it say we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise, but we are to give thanks and praise his name. And I right now would like to say, who of you would like to have a word of praise? You just thank the Lord for something just very quickly and just shout it out. It tells us that in verse 1, we're to shout. So let's give us a word of praise this morning that you're thankful for today. Michelle, thank you. Amen.
We're thankful to have you, Michelle.
Thanks. Sherry.
I'm thankful for you today.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Somebody else. Yes, sir.
I'm thankful for all of the works he's been doing for us. We promise with our car, he's just miraculously seen us through that. That's only his work.
All right. Good.
I'm thankful for my sister.
Is that amen? Good. Way back there. Somebody else. Give thanks. Give praise.
I'm thankful that my daughter is safe and in need. Enjoy yourself.
All right. Somebody else.
I'm thankful for good health.
Good health. Okay. Yes.
Thankful for the free new fridge. That full size that they have for boys.
Good. Fearfully made. Wonderfully made. He has not made us. We have not made ourselves. Somebody else.
I'm thankful that Bob's MRI came back with the first part of the MS. Oh,
good. Bob's had some MS, and thank you. Okay. All right. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. And this would be a good thing to do Thursday at your meal, wherever you go, wherever you are. Just go around the table and say, what are you thankful for today? No sour notes, just thankfulness. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So first of all, we need to know the Lord, that he's our God. And then we are to enter the gates with thanksgiving and give thanks to him and praise his name. And we did that. And then it tells us in verse 1 and 2, shout for joy to the Lord. And I don't think their services were very quiet. I think they had some rowdiness. I think they could hear. Of course, they didn't have a PA system, and they probably could extend their voices. And it says here, shout for the joy of the Lord, all the earth. And it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, the reason I've taken these in this sequence is because we have to know the Lord first. Then we have to have a note of thankfulness before we can really serve the Lord. Because sometimes as we serve the Lord, we don't do it wholeheartedly or thankfully. Sometimes it's a drudgery, or sometimes we've been volunteered and we say, well, if nobody else will do it, I'll do it, you know. But we don't do it. We don't serve the Lord with gladness. And I'm just challenging us this morning, whether you're an officer, an elder, a Sunday school teacher, a layman here that maybe doesn't have any responsibility, the music people, a women's ministry, so on and so forth. Are we serving the Lord with gladness? Gladness. I remember, all of you remember J. Vernon McGee. He's still on the on the radio, and he was through the Bible bus in 5 years. He's with the Lord. He's been there for many years now. But he said some people look like they're serving the Lord after they've sucked on a dill pickle. So, I mean, sometimes we're this drudgery. It's not joyful. And somebody said this morning to this, I'm not going to point her out, but she says, boy, she has a nice smile. Nice smile. But serve the Lord with gladness, it says. Come before him with joyful songs. Now, the songs we sang this morning, and one of them we had to scrap because we didn't know it, and the other two we're going to sing, they're joyful songs. They're uplifting. They are, and that's what we do. I don't like songs necessarily in the minor key. I mean, sometimes they're okay, but and sometimes, you know, we can't sing on necessarily on right on the key, right on tune, and I heard about this man that learned to sing at Sing Sing. And y'all, some of you younger people may not know where Sing Sing is, but it's a prison that they used to have. And this man learned to sing at Sing Sing, and he was always behind a few bars, never could find the right key. So, but whenever we sing to the Lord, we're to do it. It says, come before him with joyful songs. Joyful songs. And amen. And that's a good shout back there. Good. All right. Know the Lord, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Okay, it tells us in verse 5. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Why do we acknowledge the Lord? Why do we know that we are the sheep of his pasture? Why do we enter his presence with shouts and singing praise? Because the Lord is good. Now, maybe you use that phrase a lot. I've heard that so much. God is good. Regardless of what you're going through, God is good. And we need to have this in our brains, that regardless of what we go through. And you know, just a couple of days ago, I was talking to one of my friends, and they've been through quite a bit this past year. And he said to me, now I'll quote it. He says, when this year is over and it's New Year's Eve, I'm going to get a big glass of scotch and put this year behind me. Now, I would not advise that. I would come up and I would say, we'll put this year behind me. But of course, he said that other. Because a lot of us, a lot of you have had trials this last year. I know some of you have. Just hearing the mother of our pianist being with the Lord so quickly. And we don't expect things like that. Going through cancer, heart attacks, whatever. God is good. The Lord is good. And his love endures forever. When we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become his. And we can call him our Father. And there's greater love that no man has than someone lays down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life for us. Laid down his life for us. And God is good. And his love endures forever. It doesn't end. It's forever. And then his faithfulness continues through all generations. You know what Lamentations says, don't you? 7:22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. His love and compassion, they're new every morning. And his faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Now, we have some generations right now, don't we, in our family. And we have those of our loved ones, maybe a son, maybe a grandson, maybe a granddaughter, maybe a husband that does not even know the Lord. And yet we are continue to pray. We're to continue to live before them. We're to continue to give a word of testimony and understand that God is not through with this generation yet. God is not through. He still has a plan. He's still able to save to the uttermost. And we need to count on that. We need to be thankful and expecting what God will even do yet this year. We don't know what he's going to do. But God is faithful. It says his love endures forever. And his faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, I don't know how far back you go in your history as far as Christian faith. My parents were Christians. My grandparents on my on my dad's side were Christians. And, you know, his mercy and his faithfulness is to all generations. So as we come to the conclusion of this psalm today, at this Thanksgiving time, we need to give thanks and praise to him because we know the Lord. We know the Lord. And we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Then we are to serve the Lord with gladness. Why? Because the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Do we make this place a place of worship and thanksgiving? Do we come in with gladness? Can we leave some of the troubles outside and just come in and worship? And sometimes when we pray, we can cast our burden on the Lord because he cares for us. But thanksgiving not only is Thursday, but it should be every day. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Father, thank you for your psalm. Lord, thank you that we can enter the gates with thanksgiving. Because, Lord, we can know you. And Lord, I trust that every person in this building today knows you and say, the Lord is my God. The Lord is not only my Savior, but he's my Lord. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. He's my friend. He's my God. And Father, when we could say that, we could serve you with gladness and we can enter into your courts with thanksgiving because, Lord, you're so good. Your mercies are new every morning. Your faithfulness is great. And your love endures to all generations. We give you our praise. We give you our thanks. We give you our glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.